If you have your Bible, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. Once you're there, say there. Oh, we got a couple people there.
Okay.
All right. So 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. We're going to be reading through the end of the chapter. And it's going to be great. So here we go. Out of the New Living Translation, it goes, "As for us, we can't help but thank God for you, dear brothers and sisters, loved by the Lord. We are always thankful that God chose you to be among the first to experience salvation, a salvation that came through the Spirit who makes you holy and through your belief in the truth. He called you to salvation when you were told you the good news. Now you can share the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ." Verse 15. "With all these things in mind, dear brothers and sisters, stand firm and keep a strong grip on teachings we passed on to you, both in person and by letter." Verse 16. "Now may our Lord Jesus Christ himself, God our Father, who loved us by his grace, gave us eternal comfort and a wonderful hope, comfort you and strengthen you in every good thing you do and say." Paul starts this section here, and he starts off and goes, "I'm praying for you." Isn't it nice to know when someone out of the blue says, "Hey, I'm praying for you"? Maybe through a text message, maybe through a phone call, maybe through something else. But also you get this message from whomever and says, "Hey, I'm praying for you." And sometimes they don't even know what you're going through. Sometimes you're going through some great stuff and God's doing great things. And sometimes you're literally walking through quicksand or mud or miry clay. And you're like, "Wow, Lord, you placed it on their heart to pray for me? How cool is that?" Actually, I have texted people in the past, "Hey, I'm praying for you." And they go, I had a couple people say, "Why?" Well, I don't know. You tell me why. What are you going through? But here Paul is saying that we can't help but thank God for you. Are you thankful for certain people in your life? You know, especially in the church family. Not even just in our congregation, but in other congregations. The church family is bigger than us. Are you thankful for those who are praying for you? Or are you thankful for those that God placed in your life? And so many times we take it so granted that they're going to be there. And so I want to say thank you as a church, from your pastor to you guys. The last 2-3 months, we've asked a lot of you, and every single time you showed up. You guys not just showed up, but you guys hit home runs. With Jean's funeral, you guys showed up and blessed her family. You know, then our Thanksgiving service we hosted that Sunday night. You showed up. You brought the goodies. You brought the welcomeness. And people were blessed. You know, all you've done this holiday season for the last several months, every time I say, "Hey, we're doing this," not once have you come to me personally. You might have been behind my back, I don't know. Not once did someone go, "Man, pastor's asking too much. There's no way we can do this. This is hard. This is tough." No, you guys just keep on showing up to our revival meetings. Even I know it's going to be cold Thursday night. And I know some of you say, "Hey, there's church, we're going." Because guess what? We're Minnesotans. Cold weather doesn't stop us. Maybe 8-9 inches of snow might stop us eventually. But the thing about it is that through these last several months, every time you turn around, and the cool thing about it, we got another opportunity to bless somebody else. It came to my attention. I talked to the board and I did some research. You remember the gentleman that we blessed with a motorcycle last year? We have an opportunity to bless his family this Christmas. I know it's a little late. They're going to bless him. We have an opportunity to bless him. And I reached out to Herbie, who connects with him. He goes, yeah, we want to bless his family. But guess what he's going to do? If we just give him money, so he's going to figure out a way to bless him and his family. Because he goes, if we give it to him, he's going to bless the church with it. And the thing about it, you say, well, how are we going to bless him? I'm not 100% sure. But all I know is that when God tells us to do something, guess what we're going to do? We're going to do it. Because if we are fearful of, well, we don't have enough money for ourselves, guess what? We have plenty. God will take care of us. Because going into 2026, God is going to supernaturally take care of his people in the midst of trials and tribulations. And guess what? When we obey God, just like when the prophet Elijah went and said, it won't rain for a while. And he went down to the river. Guess what? He was still provided for with food supernaturally in a supernatural way. I'm telling you right now, when we seek this first, the kingdom of God, we don't have to worry about ourselves because we can take care of somebody else. What if we bless him and all of a sudden we hear reports of souls getting saved? Guess what? You have a part of that. Every time we bless our missionaries each month, we send BGMC money down to Cuba. We bless people around the world, missionaries. We bless Chi Alpha over Winona. And guess what? Every time a soul gets saved, we have a part of it. And so we can thank God for a church that doesn't just say, well, we got to keep the lights on. Guess what? It's not a job to keep the lights on. It's our job to obey God. It's our job to do what God's called us to do. And so here he is, Paul saying, man, I am so thankful that you're in my life. I am so thankful that God chose to save you. I am so thankful that you're part of God's family. Even those who rub you the wrong way, those whose personality might not meet up with your personality, you can still be thankful for all of them. You know, the thing about it is that sometimes there's a pastor who has a pastoral gift, like Pastor Frank and Pastor Johan. Great men of God. Pastor men. Great shepherds. And then here I come. A little bit more on the barking side of things. And the thing about it is that the whole thing is that we can still be thankful for each other. We can be thankful for even the personality that you like. You know, some, they might not operate the way I do, but I thank God that they do what they do. I walked into a church a couple of months ago for a meeting. And I walked in and I'm like, you know, there's a pastor here who loves to pastor. And I was able to talk with him. And I talked to him several times this last year. And you could just see his heart for the people. I mean, I love you guys, but and my heart goes out to you guys. When you go through trials and tribulations, and we're there, and when you're there for each other. But there's something about when somebody actually has a shepherd's gift. Like Daniel Johnson. That man's a shepherd. And he has a great personality for it. And there's nothing the matter with that. And then you get the apostles and the teachers and the evangelists. And then you get the prophets who are a little bit more raw, who maybe not filter everything through their brain, but yet they do what God's called them to do. And you're like, well, I wouldn't do it that way. Well, did God ask you to do it? Do what God's called you to do. and you'll see great and mighty things. And so Paul's saying, here he goes, I thank you, even because you get to experience salvation. Then he goes on, he goes, salvation only comes through two means. I know through Jesus, but we have to go through something. There's a way that we get there. Because salvation that came through, the first thing, the Spirit. The Holy Spirit draws people to Jesus. That's the Holy Spirit's job to the unbelievers. His whole job is to use you, the Holy Spirit that lives inside of you, to draw people from where they're at into the kingdom of God. That's one reason why you have the Holy Spirit living inside of you. To be nice to somebody. Opening a door is sometimes the best thing you can do. And say, hi. You don't need to give your opinion about everything and anything. It's okay to just welcome in the door and say, hey, welcome. And the thing about it, the loving kindness that's inside of you because of the Holy Spirit, draw people to repentance. That's what draws people to Christ, is your loving kindness to them. And I see that at work in Lori's life. Going up there twice a week, you know, the first few weeks was kind of icy and dicey. Now, before I leave, she's smiling because of you guys' prayers. Because you guys are saying, hey, do what you need to do to see what God can do in her. Keep praying for them. Because God's working in that family. Because of loving kindness. Well, it doesn't matter. You do what you do. You go be nice to somebody who rubs somebody else the wrong way. It's okay not to have everybody your friend. But be friendly to everyone. And so, Paul's here saying, it's through the Holy Spirit who makes you holy. You know what holy means? Set apart. Guess what? When you come to be a believer in Christ and a follower or a disciple of Christ, you become set apart. You're different. Well, I don't want to be different. Guess what? You're different. And different is good in the kingdom of God. We're not supposed to look like the world, act like the world, or smell like the world. We're supposed to be in the world, but not of the world. We're not supposed to be like the world. The world says, hey, go watch this movie. It's a great movie. But you look at it, Wicked. And then they came out with Wicked 2, called Wicked Good. I'm telling you, that's from the pit of hell. If you go watch it, go watch it. But for me, my household, we're set apart. We're different. And when I see these things, the world's like, oh, there's no harm in that. Do a little Google search on the first movie and the second movie. There's spells in there. As you watch it, they're casting spells. Why are we participating in that? We're supposed to be different. That's not in the notes, but you get that for free. Because we're holy. We're supposed to be different. And we're called to repentance. We're called to that. We're called to be holy, set apart, different. When the world comes in and tells us how to operate as a church, guess what? We don't need to listen to the world that tells us how to operate as a church. Because guess what? You know who's the head of the church? Not me. Jesus is. And what he tells us to do, we better do it because he's the head. And as he leads us, it's exciting days. And then the other, through that, he goes, through your belief in the truth. The truth here, the belief in Jesus, there's not a magical prayer that you can pray to get saved. When I was out in Phoenix working at the church, and I had a gentleman who was hard of hearing working underneath me. So I had to get a cell phone so we could text each other. Because if we tried to call, he couldn't hear me. I mean, he could hear me, but I was like, remember Charlie Brown's teacher? Wah, 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 wah. Okay, that's the way we come across. But when we got together, he could read my lips if I slowed down enough. Or we'd write things out. And so one night, he texts me out of the blue, and he goes, hey, what's that prayer to get somebody saved? I'm like, there is no magic prayer to get anybody saved. All they have to do is repent of their sins and trust God. Then they're in the kingdom of God. That's all they have to do. That's it. Nothing more, nothing less. They're in the kingdom of God. Now, what they do in the kingdom of God, that's a different story. That's for a different subject. But to be saved is all that the Holy Spirit draws them in. And all they do is say, Jesus, forgive me of my sins. I want to follow you. That's it. That's it. That's simple. You don't need to take them through all these other things. Now, after they get saved, there's disciplines that we should put in our lives. Just like when we exercise to make sure we're physically healthy, make sure we're eating right and all those things. Spiritually, the same way. There's disciplines that we put in our life to make sure we're healthy spiritually. And then, who makes you holy through the belief in the truth. Verse 14 goes, he called you to salvation when we told you the good news. The gospel needs to be preached, and you get to preach it. Not just me. You get to tell people good news. How many of you have a testimony? Raise your hand. Wow. Maybe I should go back and preach the gospel. Jesus Christ saved. That's the testimony of your life. This is the way I was, and this is where I'm at today. Testimony. Guess what? They cannot refute your testimony. They might come up with, well, you know, there's so much wrong with the Bible, so many blah, 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 blah. Guess what? They still cannot take away your testimony. Your testimony is the greatest thing you have. I was once lost, but now I'm found. Think about it. It's the greatest game of hide and seek ever. You were once lost. Then Cletus got GPS. Now he's found. Now he knows his way back home. I was once lost. I was once dire. It doesn't matter what you've had. You could have been the worst heathen of heathens. Or you could have been, hey, I was a good boy, a good girl. Because guess what? In Christ and his standards, you fell short because of sin in your life. But guess what? It doesn't matter if you did 1,000 drugs for 1,000 days, or you were a good boy and good girl, and you show up to church 1,000 days and 1,000 for 1,000 times. Because works did not save you. Being good will never save me. I learned that when I was younger. I tried to be good for 5 minutes. I almost got away with it. I lasted 2. But the thing about it is that here, the only way is through the good news. Through your testimony of how good God is. Now, see, he goes on. Now you can share in the glory of the Lord. It's because of what Christ is doing. You get to share in his glory. Not your glory. You give it to God. God, it's all yours. He goes, man, when you give it to me, I'll bring you along. Doesn't it feel good when someone comes up and says, thank you. Hey, I appreciate you. You're a blessing. You're like, oh man, I like this guy. You know, because we can share in what God's doing. So like I said earlier, when we give to missionaries and evangelists and they get to share the gospel to people that we will never be able to share with. Guess what? We get to partake in it. We get to share in God's glory of what God's doing around this nation because we're able to bless. What God's doing in Cuba, we get to be a part of it. What God's doing in Ukraine, we get to be a part of it. What God is doing down in the Indian oceans, ocean down, in the islands there, we get to be a part of it. What God's doing up in Canada, we get to be a part of it. Because why? Because we sow into ministries that are working through them. And I don't know about you, it gets me excited when we get reports of what God's doing down in these places we have blessed. The pastor down in Haiti, the church is exploding because he's able to minister because of his motorcycle. And he's able to use his motorcycle as an Uber to put gas in it so he can go minister to more people. Because of your unselfishness and your willingness to say, you know something, yes, there might be a cost, but yet there's souls that need to be saved. And we get to be a part of it. Verse 15 goes on and says, with all these things in mind, with everything going on, Paul's saying, stand firm and keep strong grip on teachings that we passed on to you both in person and by letter. It reminds me of putting on the whole armor of God. It says at the end, go stand and stand some more. Remember, Papa, I can't stand it. I'm going to stand. When things come against you, when things are horrendous, you don't go standing on gossip. You don't go standing on, I hope. You go standing on the Word of God. I stand on the Word. What does the Word of God says? It trumps any doctor, any lawyer, any government official. This is the supreme Word of the land. There is no king but King Jesus. No president is above the Word of God. No governor is above the Word of God. No pastor. I'm above the Word of God. My kids aren't. Nobody. This Word of God is the greatest thing we could ever stand upon. What does the Word of God say in that situation? If people would say, what would the Word of God say in that situation, we'd have less issues in the family. We have less issues in the school. Less issues in the government. If the Word of God, we'd have less issues in the church. How many of you know there's issues in the church because we're human? What does the Word of God say? Give! What else does it say after that? Anybody know? Give, and it'll be given back. So why are we afraid to give? Why are we afraid to release what God told us to release? Because reason why we don't trust that scripture verse. If we trust that scripture verse, He will take care of us. And giving financially is probably the hardest thing for somebody to do because there's sweat equity with that. Because it means time. It means energy that you put into it to make that money. And now you're going to say, oh Lord, I'm giving this to you. Guess what? It's not yours to give away. It's God's to give away. It's His money. It's not your life. It's God's life. If you're following Christ, it's not your life any longer to live. It's Christ's life to live through you. I no longer live. See, if we're already dead, it doesn't matter about anything else. I remember reading stories, hearing stories back in the 1800s before the airplane was invented. They would have to take ships across the big blue sea. I'm not a particular big fan of flying across the big blue sea. So if God ever tells me to go to Africa, it has to be a miracle.
But the thing about it, you know what they used to take with them? These missionaries and evangelists, you know what they'd look with them? Their coffins. They would take their coffins, they would load their coffins with their stuff. They'd take it because, you know why? Because they're saying, I'm already dead for Christ, and so no matter what they do to me, it's nothing. Are you already dead? I'm not talking about physically. I'm talking about, are you already dead for the things of Christ? Like, no matter what.
If I would die, if God would tell me to go do something, I would weigh the cost and, okay, Lord, what if I die? He goes, you're already dead? And Christ who lives in me is greater than the world anyways. If we truly believe that Christ in me is greater than the world, this world has nothing. It's a bunch of dollar store toys. Now it's $1.50. But they're still like 2 cents worth. That's the world's offering. And God's offering is eternal life in heaven. And we're complaining over this and that. And God's saying, come closer. With all these things in mind, stand firm. Keep standing on the word of God. Because the culture changed. How many of you noticed in the last 10 years the culture changed?
How about the last 5 years? How about in the last 2 years? It's rapidly changing. You know what we stand firm on?
God's word. We might do ministry different in 2026, but the message will never change. Maybe the way we flow, maybe the way we do things, but the message will always stay the same. Jesus is King. King of kings and the Lord of lords. Nothing else matters. And then it goes, stand firm, keep strong grip on the teaching we passed on to you, both in person and by letter. And so, hang on to things
that is truthful, the Word of God. Things that you read in the Bible, hang on to them. Don't let it go. There was a movie several years ago, big hit. There was a song in there.
It was called, Let It Go.
Let it go. You know what they were talking about? Talking about getting rid of the morals and values of their family and getting new morals and values. And so, in other words, they were saying, I'm letting all the past, all these godly morals, let it go because we got something new. The world's saying, let go of your old ways.
Let go of your Bible. That's ancient stuff. That's outdated. Let it go. It's not for today. You know, everybody's shacking up.
Everybody's sleeping around.
This stuff that you're saying, that's garbage, that's hogwash. Guess what? Don't let it go. Stand firm on the Word of God and say, I don't care what the world says. I care about if I'm going to honor God. Am I going to fear God? That's the greatest thing. You know something? The greatest thing you can do is fear God.
Once we get back to fearing God in the American church, the church will explode and the country will come back to Christ.
Until we fear God. Well, I'm afraid of the government. I'm not afraid of no government. No, why? Because they can't do anything to me outside God's purpose. So I can stand on God's word. And I believe there's a couple people here today, this morning, who will stand and be front and in front of political leaders and tell them to shut up and sit down. Because the word of God is greater. You can't tell us what to do because we have the Word of God. The Word of God tells us what to do. And the Word of God says, do not forsake the assembly of believers. And do not be scared about assembling together. Well, what if I get sick? Guess what? You can get sick just walking around the house.
You can get sick going to the hospital. You can go get sick just going to the store. You can get attacked by a bear just walking outside. You know, it says in the Bible,
well, I'm not going outside because there might be a lion, it might attack me. Who cares? You can tell that lion to be gone and go forward.
Because you have the authority, you have the power.
Have a hold. Hang on to those things. All right. Verse 16. I'll try to settle down a little bit. Now may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who loved us. Did you know that? How awesome is that? Jesus loves me.
This I know. You know that song, right, Rose? Okay. For the Bible tells me so. We little ones are weak and to be alone. They are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. When was the last time you said, Jesus loves me? Good. You didn't look in the mirror and say, hey, David. You didn't look in the mirror and say, hey, Jesus loves this guy. With all the mac and cheese and chocolate milk you can handle. What do you think of that? Hey, guess what? He's not the only one. We love you too. You're a mighty man of God. We're blessed to have you here. You know that? You have permission to take one of Gary's muffins home with you. Alright? But the thing about it, we can look! Why? Because the Bible just told us that God the Father and Jesus loves me. Well, if he knew why I did, he already knows what you did. Come clean and confess it. Guilt is a horrible thing. Just get it off your chest.
Get off your shoulders. Just confess it. He loved us. How did he love us? By proving salvation for us. By giving us eternal life. He loved us by his grace and gave us eternal comfort. And then, a wonderful hope. Where's your hope? Where's your hope placed now?
Hopefully your hope is not placed in me. Because it's the wrong place to put it in. I hope that your hope is not in the church or the weather. Or the weatherman might get it right once. I hope your hope is not in our government or in politics. I hope your hope is not in that it will come spring soon. I've been saying, we're a day closer. Think about it, we're a day closer to spring now. Nights are getting a little bit less. Sunset's almost at 5 p.m. Man, we're getting close. It almost felt like spring for a couple days.
But I hope your hope is in Christ.
In the cross.
Yes.
And what Christ did for us. That's where our hope is. Nothing else will hold water to that. My hope is in
Christ Jesus. He's my firm foundation.
He's my firm foundation.
And nothing else matters. He's given us this wonderful hope to comfort us, to strengthen us with every good thing you do and say. We're supposed to be good
for more than 5 minutes.
We're supposed to be friendly and nice.
I got to know some of the ICU people at the hospital after visiting Lori for several months. They thought I was nice. That's true. Eleanor thinks I'm a nice person. Her kids think I'm a nice person. I am. But the thing about it, you ever meet a dog that was nice to its owner? But when a stranger came around, what did the dog do? Yeah! Especially a junkyard dog. You know, they're friendly during the day, but man, you shut that gate and you try to jump over the gate to get something that you're not supposed to get. Guess what the junkyard dog's going to do? But the dog's nice.
But to the one who's against God's will, I'm not going to look nice.
I'm not going to act nice. But guess what? I'm not there to please them. I'm there to please God. And guess what? I know some family members, even my own family members, don't think I'm nice.
But guess what? When you walk out God's plan, according to Jesus, the thing about it, when you look at baby Jesus, oh, isn't he so cute?
I think he probably would have just been an average looking baby. I think I was cuter than him. See, well, so many times we pull a halo on Mary, we pull a halo on Joseph, pull a halo on Jesus. Guess what?
Mary and Joseph were just human. Jesus was all God, all human.
Boom! But we remember him as a cute little baby. I remember my kids were long young and they were in diaper size kids. Now they're grown. Become mighty men, mighty women of God. See, then guess what? The people of Jesus' day, the religious people, hated Jesus. They thought he was being mean. You ever really step back and look how Jesus dealt with them? He was kind of funny. You brood of vipers? I'm thinking about preaching that to someday. You brood of vipers? I mean, he just starts off that way.
Who are you talking to? The religious people.
Religious people absolutely hate me. Inside the church and outside the church.
And then Jesus lives and ministers for three and a half years or so.
And not everybody, even one of his closest friends, betrayed him because he didn't like him. But now, so we love the story. We love the event of Jesus dying on the cross for our sins. That's great. But I'm telling you, those who love Jesus is a wonderful thing. But the same cornerstone that is building the church is the same stumbling stone for the world.
Think about that for a moment. The same thing that you base your life on, you love. You love the Bible. You love what it says. You love how it impacts your life.
But the world absolutely hates the Word of God. You can pray to anybody in public, except to one person.
Jesus. You can mention the name of all these false gods and religions,
and the world said, yay!
But you mention the name of Jesus in your prayers, they get hostile. Wow. I think I'm done.